Chapter 17. The Twins of Good and Evil. By the time he had finished reading Dr. Lanyon's letter, Mr. Utterson was considerably shaken. He knew now that Henry Jekyll was not in hiding as a result of killing that horrible figure stretched out in death on his office floor. The world would know only that the infamous Mr. Hyde was dead, and that Dr. Jekyll had disappeared under unknown circumstances. Neither man would ever be seen again in London, though they would never leave Mr. Utterson's thoughts. But Utterson realized that he had to know how this tragedy had come about. Like Lanyon, he had come too far to turn back. Therefore, though his hand shook, he opened the sealed packet left to him by Jekyll and began to read the doctor's words. "I, Henry Jekyll, was born to a large fortune and came of a good family. I was intelligent and naturally industrious. If I had a serious fault, it was a certain careless gaiety. But I suppressed this attitude as much as I could, because I wanted the respect and approval of all men. Thus, in my early years, I began to lead a kind of double life. My youthful activities were not especially sinful. In fact, another man might have boasted of such high spirits and occasional dips into a villainous life. But I had such high views that I was ashamed at the smallest fault in myself. I hid these faults, unable to admit them to public light. It caused me unrest and unhappiness. As a result, I gave much thought to the character of mankind in general. I did not consider myself a hypocrite. I did not try to be something I wasn't. When I tried, day after day, to do good and to relieve the suffering of my patients, I was myself. And when I let myself go and plunged into shameful activities, I was also myself. My scientific studies forced me to the following truth. A man is not truly one person, but actually two. But my discovery has come only part of the way. I believe that scientists who come after me will discover that a man is not only two men, but many men. Even before I began my experiments to prove this two-ness of men, I daydreamed about it. I longed to separate these two identities and place each one in its own body. Then there would be no unhappiness such as I had experienced. The upright twin could walk with his head held high, doing good, and no longer exposed to the disgrace brought about by his evil twin. The latter, this evil twin, could walk his downward path, free of the ideals and regrets of his good self. The struggle within a man would then cease. He would be free to be both selves. When I began to experiment in my laboratory, I found that certain compounds had the effect of changing a man's flesh, of waving it aside like a wind blowing curtains. I will not write down my formula for two reasons. The first reason is that my experiments were incomplete, as this document will show. I managed to reach only a certain point in dividing the twins. My second reason is that I now realize that we cannot throw off the burden of our life. We cannot experience happiness forever untouched by troubles. When we try, even more unhappiness returns to haunt us. I debated a long time with myself as to whether or not to put my laboratory experiments to a human test. I knew well that I risked death from an overdose. Finally, since the liquid was perfected, I couldn't resist. The temptation of such a discovery erased all fears of risk. I purchased the last ingredient, a large quantity of a white salt. Late one night, I mixed these ingredients. They smoked and bubbled and changed color. As I held that first glass in my hand, I hesitated, for I knew it might mean death to drink it. But then I quickly gulped the dose. Terrible pains tore through my body. I felt sick, then strange. These sensations lasted only a moment, and I then came back to myself as if from a long sickness. But with a difference. I felt younger, happier, even lighter. A new, sweet sensation came over me. I felt free to be wicked. I could be reckless and let forbidden desires take charge of me. The feeling was like wine, and I threw open my arms in welcome. The act of stretching my arms made me realize that the sleeves of my jacket were covering my hands. I had grown smaller. At that time, I had no mirror in my office, though I later had one installed. So I tiptoed through my own house like a burglar, intent on not waking my servants. Safe in my own room, I looked in the mirror and saw Edward Hyde for the first time. Let me give you my theory as a scientist as to why Hyde should be smaller and younger than Jekyll. His body had less exercise and experienced less wear, because for 9/10 of the twins' life, Jekyll had worked hard and his body had suffered. He was now a tired, elderly man, whereas Hyde was a young man, ready to begin his life of evil. As I stared in the mirror, I recognized that evil written on Hyde's face. But he did not disgust me. I welcomed him. This, too, was myself. Hyde was natural and human. What is more, he was not a divided person. He was a single self. I know that anyone meeting Hyde immediately felt distaste for him. There is a reason for this. All human beings are both good and evil. But Hyde alone was pure evil, and people sensed this. I dared stay only a short time at the mirror. Hurrying back to my office, I prepared the solution again and drank it. Henry Jekyll returned. That was the beginning. Perhaps if I had approached my experiments in a more noble spirit, things would have gone differently. Of the two selves within me, Jekyll was still a combination of good and evil, while Hyde was all evil. Thus, when Hyde was released, the movement of my nature could only be toward the worse side. Everything went downhill. From then on, I switched back and forth between my twins. When I grew bored with medicine and science and my proper friends, I could instantly have the gaieties and freedom of youth as Hyde. I fell into a kind of slavery, but I loved it. I rented rooms in Soho. I described Hyde to Jekyll's servants and said that he was to be obeyed and permitted the free use of the house in my absence. I even made Hyde financially secure by making him my heir in a will that shocked poor Utterson. So I became happy, for I could act evilly without paying the consequences. Whatever crime Hyde committed, he could be safe a moment later as Henry Jekyll, a man above suspicion. Thus, depraved, drunken, and beastly in every way, I ran wild over London as Edward Hyde. Jekyll soon found a way to soothe his conscience about all this evil, for Hyde alone was guilty, not Jekyll. Of course, Hyde was not always completely free from the consequences of his actions. This was so on the night when he knocked down a child. He was so threatened by her family and some passers-by that he feared for his safety. Finally, he bought them off with a check, but he had to use Jekyll's signature. The next day, I opened a checking account for Hyde by slanting my handwriting backward. Thus, he would always have money whenever he needed it. Some 2 months before the murder of Sir Danvers Carew, I had come in from a night on the town. Usually, I returned to Soho and went to sleep as Hyde, but Jekyll had an early morning appointment, so I changed back to Jekyll and slept at the doctor's house. In the morning, I woke very early, wondering for a moment where I was. In my drowsy state, I had expected to see the furnishings of Hyde's Soho rooms. When I roused myself and stretched, I caught sight of my hand. It was lean, knuckly, and covered with dark hair. But Jekyll's hand was large and well-formed and white. Terror crashed through my mind. I leapt out of bed and ran to the mirror. It was true. I had gone to bed as Henry Jekyll, and, without tasting a drop of the mixture, I had awakened as Edward Hyde. I asked myself how this could have happened, but I had no time to speculate on scientific reasons. The important matter was to become Jekyll again. But by now, all my servants were up, and the drugs I needed were in my office on the other side of the house. I could cover my face, but I could not conceal my shortened stature. Then I realized that if I did meet any servant, he would only be surprised at seeing Hyde in a part of the house he did not usually go into. So I dressed quickly. A thin smile was on my lips. For as Hyde, I was bolder than Jekyll had ever been.